Yes, it's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Hey, 25 Henry. We turn your previous frequency, please.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yosef. And tonight, if you hear any noises in the background, Ezra and Nehemiah have decided to get their Yom Kippur shofar on, and they are making a little bit of a noise, but you know what? That's children, even furry ones. But welcome to the Coffee Break, because we are super excited that it's Yom Kippur. So welcome to Yom Kippur. The sun has gone down for some of us, not all of us yet, but I know that for some of us, for those of us for whom the sun has set, it is now time for Yom Kippur. And you know, I can't say happy Yom Kippur. I'm not sure if it is, but welcome to Yom Kippur, and it's a very special time. You know what? It is, as the Bible refers, as the scriptures say, it is the holiest day of the year, and it is such a special time. It is such a significant feast. It is such a significant day that I cannot help but always feel when it comes around to Yom Kippur that, you know what, there's going to be so much future fulfillment by Yeshua of this day that is going to be so significant and so real and so true. I feel as though there's a lot of this day of Yom Kippur that has remained hidden for us. You know, there's lots of tradition around Yom Kippur. There's lots of Jewish tradition. We know there's a lot of Christian tradition around things such as forgiveness. But tonight, we really want to take you deeper in to the reality of Yom Kippur. And this is not going to be a normal coffee break. This is going to be an exciting coffee break, because it's going to be about, you know, just some revelations, some truths about Yom Kippur that we need to talk about. And when Yosef and I were talking today, and we were just discussing, you know, forgiveness, atonement, redemption, when we were talking about all these realities, we were both getting super excited because there's revelation new every single year as we approach this feast. So you know what, welcome, be blessed, be with us tonight, because it's going to be such a great time. And we pray that your heart is going to be refreshed, that your heart is going to be, you know what, stirred and excited for this feast. And also that if you've come here tonight and you're just sitting there and you have heaviness inside of you, this year's been tough, this month has been really hard, I know for us as well, that I really pray that Abba Father will meet us all here tonight, this evening, as we are gathered, that His Spirit will really meet with us and bind us together. And so, Yosef, welcome to you as well. It is so great that you're on the coffee break tonight, and I'd love to say howdy, how's it from you, and also to open up in prayer for us.
Let's do that too, everybody. It's good to be back on the coffee break. I know that we haven't been on the coffee break for a few weeks. We've been quite busy with other things, but it's always good to be on the coffee break. And you know what's special is to have the coffee breaks when the festivals are on, especially during this time. I know that it's difficult for some to gather together, just to have fellowship. So we always say this every week, you know, this is kind of the time where we come together. It's not a time where we teach the word like we do on, you know, kind of on YouTube. It's just a time where we fellowship together around, you know, the things that Yahweh lays upon our hearts. And this evening, we are blessed to be able to chat about, you know, Yom Kippur. And like Aaliyah said, the importance of Yom Kippur. And, you know, I was sitting, Aaliyah, you know, this just before we started this coffee break, thinking, you know, about Yom Kippur and about how significant it is and how little so many people actually know about this day, and how many people are so engrossed and kind of overtaken by traditions of men. And this evening, we don't want to even talk about, you know, the traditions of men. We don't want to talk about pointing fingers at anybody. We just want to look at what Yahweh is saying to us during this time. So I would like us to pray, and then we're going to get into this time. And I also want to urge you this evening, before I even start, you know, the coffee break is not only supposed to be a time where we fellowship together or where we discuss things, but it's also a time where we pray for one another and where we really lift each other up. And I know that, you know, sometimes when it comes to the coffee break, we start the coffee break off and in our hearts, maybe we sit there and we say, well, you know what, this has been a hard month, this has been a hard week, this has been a hard year. But when it comes to the time of prayer, then we feel like maybe we don't have a place where we can actually say, that's me. Mm-hmm. Let us come this evening and know that this is a safe place. No one's going to point a finger at anybody. And if you have a prayer request this evening as we go through, you know, this time together, then let us pray together for those things. You know, prayer and trusting the Father for things is more important than myself and Aaliyah sitting here babbling away for hours. You know, if there's a need, if there's prayer that needs to happen, then that should always be first, besides the other things. So we want to put that out there this evening that, you know, if you need prayer, if there's anything that we can pray about this evening, let us do that and let us trust the Father. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua Mashiach. Father, for this day, this festival that you have blessed us with. Father, it is your appointed times. It is for you, Father, and you alone. It is for us to come, Father, ready to receive and to hear what you have to say. And Father, we want to pray that on this day, Father, that you will be glorified, that you will be exalted. We thank you, Yeshua, for all that you are, for all that you're doing in our lives, despite all the struggles that we go through, despite this year being maybe one of turmoil or one of sadness and one of maybe not fully understanding what is going on. Father, we know that despite all these things, that you are the God that saves, that you are the one, Father, that redeems, and you are the one, Father, that restores. So we believe, Father, that this journey that we are on is far from over and that there is still greater things in store for your children, and we pray for that. We also want to ask this evening, Father, that as we fellowship around your word, Father, that you will bless every single person, that they will have a time, Father, with you, a time, Father, where they meet with you this evening and where they walk away, Father, not the same, but renewed, refreshed, and ready for a week and the rest of this year that lies ahead, and where they will be richly blessed, Father, at this time. And as they celebrate this festival, Father, may it become part of them, and may you change them from the inside out. We thank you for this, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, Yosef, it's, you know, being said that Yom Kippur and Kippur itself means atonement. Mm. And oftentimes it has been said and taught and spoken about, and I think that that's part of Christian tradition, that atonement and forgiveness are the same. Mm. And I'd love us to start there this evening. Is atonement and forgiveness the same? What does the Bible say? What is the deal about what Yahweh wanted done on the Day of Atonement? Because, you know, we know that obviously Leviticus 23 talks about celebrate the feast. You know, this is how you are to do it. But more than that, so specifically, Leviticus 16 already is really, really going into everything, this whole service that the priest, the high priest, needs to perform on Yom Kippur. And that's why Yom Kippur is often being called by the Jewish people the most holiest day of the year. Mm. It's the holiest day of the year that takes place at the holy, you know, in the Holy of Holies, at the most holy place on earth, where there's only living God that is the most holy Elohim in the entire universe. So it is a very, very special day, and we know that. But now, you know, we have these different realities that are happening throughout the Yom Kippur service. And we've spoken about them often, and people talk about them, you know, the different goats and everything. But there's a reality about atonement. There's a reality about forgiveness. What are we learning about these realities? Because we seem to just mesh them together. We've been taught forgiveness is offered to us. That was the purpose of Yeshua's death. Right. We've got this atonement. We've got this forgiveness. That's it. What's happening?
You know, Leah, it's important that we understand this. And I think that for many of us that come out of a church background, it's been difficult to differentiate between, you know, Passover and the Day of Atonement. Not only that, I think a lot of people, like we spoke about in one of the coffee breaks, you know, for a lot of us, we struggle to understand the work of Yeshua as it relates to biblical prophecy or to fulfillment within the word. For example, we talk about Passover, but how many of us talk about, like we spoke about before, the red heifer sacrifice and what that actually means? So we kind kind of tend to lean towards certain events or certain symbolism in the word because we've been taught that way. But when we actually go and we break open the word and we look a little bit deeper, we see that there is other symbols associated to the work of Yeshua that have greater meaning and greater understanding to what he actually did. For example, like the red heifer sacrifice. The same thing applies when we look at Passover and the Day of Atonement. We need to understand that the two are actually different, and that Passover is significant because it is talking about Yeshua, the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. And it's an individual, it's kind of like an individual thing that happened between Yahweh and each individual. Mm. Whereas Atonement is talking collectively as a community. And what's important to understand too is that Passover focused, like I said, on the individuals. And what happened there too was that the individual families and homes, they had to kind of bring the lamb to the sacrifice, right? That, or to the altar. And Passover, it doesn't kind of have anything to do in Passover too with like afflicting our souls as in is in the Day of Atonement. There's nothing like that. There's no hardships for the people. There's nothing where they have to undergo difficulties or anything. They have to just come and bring their sacrifice, and they have to bring that sacrifice on behalf of themselves and their family. And it's important to understand that. So Passover focuses on individuals. And why that's important is because every single one of us, we have to acknowledge Messiah Yeshua and his work individually. I cannot make atonement for my family. If my wife is sinning, or if we had children and the child was sinning, I can only pray for them, but there's nothing that I can do that will remove their sins. The scriptures are very clear that the sins of the children and the sins of the parents and so forth is upon those people. So Passover speaks to us about that redemption that Messiah Yeshua has given to us through his blood. Forgiveness of our sins has been given to us, and we receive that, and we kind of are adopted. And that's an important word, because the scriptures tell us that we are then adopted into the family of Yahweh. And this is where many people, many believers don't always understand this. We know that the church says, well, then, you know, you're brought into the family of God. And then they'll say, well, you know, this is the church of this and the church of that. But in Yahweh's understanding, when we have been forgiven and we receive Messiah Yeshua, we are actually accepted, adopted into the family of Israel. And it's important for us to understand that. So that's where it all begins. But the Day of Atonement focuses on the community. The entire community of Israel gathers for the festival. And then the single goat, which is referred to in scripture and further on as the scapegoat, is used to make atonement for the entire community. And the Day of Atonement, it does involve sacrifices, but these sacrifices come from the people. And it talks about four different types of animals, as well as flour and oil that are offered up to Yahweh on this specific day. And those sacrifices are then presented as burnt offerings, meaning they have to be completely consumed by the fire. And this is important. And the Day of Atonement does require, the scripture tells us, it requires hardships for the people. The community is instructed to afflict themselves. And we know, and I don't want to get into that this evening, there are many different interpretations on what that actually means. Mm. You know, and we can discuss it at a later stage. But for you know, we know that the Jewish people believe and they understand this to, you know, afflicting your soul is fasting. They refer to it as fasting. There's different viewpoints on what that means when we look at the original. So there's different views, and that's not what I want to talk about this evening. So we afflicted, or they were afflicted, they were told to afflict themselves on this day. And also, among other things, this means that there was a community-wide fast. They would, basically in those times, the community would fast, right? And it was basically forbidden to consume any food or water on that day. So what I want to say is this. Passover is associated with our forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins as an individual, whereas the Day of Atonement deals with atonement, but atonement for all the sins of Israel. And what's important to understand, most importantly, is that Passover speaks to us about the lamb that was slain and that blood that has been shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whereas on the Day of Atonement, what many people get confused is that there is blood that is shed. But it is not for the forgiveness of sins. It is for the atonement and for the atonement of the temple and for the cleansing of the temple and the temple sacrificial system, so that the people could be made in right standing and come back into Yahweh's presence. You see, the difference is this, Aaliyah. We have been redeemed by the blood of Messiah Yeshua. But unfortunately, and this is where people say, oh, but you know, once saved, always saved. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. Because the problem that Israel had was that they were redeemed. They were taken out of Egypt and they were redeemed by the work that was happening. By everything that Yahweh was doing, they were redeemed. But they became stagnant. We know that they are stubborn. The Bible tells us they were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. So the problem with Israel was that as they continued, and even though they left Egypt, they became a people that disregarded the holiness of Yahweh. They weren't living a holy, set-apart life before Yahweh. So Yahweh, in His grace, gives them the Day of Atonement to make what? Atonement for their sins, so that He can come and dwell among them again, so that they don't all die. That's actually what's going on here. Mm. And it's important because they've already been redeemed. They've already come out. And now they have been given this great and wonderful time where they can actually come back into the presence of Yahweh. So if this day didn't exist, there would be the separation continually between a holy Elohim and us. We wouldn't be able to stand in His presence regardless of what's going on. So this is given to us to make atonement and so that we can stand in Yahweh's presence again.
Hmm. So it's really a collective thing, this. Hmm. Yom Kippur is really about a collective atonement for a whole people. And I think that, Joseph, you know, and we've spoken about this on the coffee break before, that it's really the case that we as people have, especially in the Western world, we've become so focused on ourselves. Hmm. You know, we've said this before, you know, my purpose, my salvation, my calling. But yet Yahweh is so concerned about not only us as individuals. Of course, He is concerned about us as individuals, but He's always called out a people, not just maybe one person. You know, obviously He chose, say for example, Moses to lead a people. So obviously He calls us as individuals, but He calls us collectively. And it would appear, you know, through reading about Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur is really about atonement. And it's about the atonement of a collective people. It's about His people. But then also we have the atonement that was happening for the temple. And in that time was the tabernacle, but also would have been at the temple during later times, which is really, really interesting if we consider that people would have actually defiled the temple and the tabernacle, and then Yahweh's given them this service in order to, you know, redeem this space, redeeming the space that's there. And it's absolutely incredible. But then we also have the work of the high priest on that day, and we know how deeply that foreshadows what, you know, Messiah Yeshua did. And when we read that in Leviticus 16, it is so deep what happens. And I can only imagine how deep this is when it comes to, you know, exactly what Yeshua did and exactly what Yeshua will do at the end as well. But there is then a difference between forgiveness and atonement. Forgiveness then is what we receive as individuals, but atonement is something that is obviously for all of us as well. But it's a lot deeper than that. It seems so, so deep. And that's why we focus so much on the Passover and, like you said, the lamb as well. We've been taught a lot about forgiveness, but not exactly what was offered at atonement. And that is so important as well.
Yes, amen. You know, Aaliyah, I think that the best way for us to fully understand the work of Yom Kippur is to understand Passover as it relates to our salvation, or that time period in our lives where we receive the work of Messiah Yeshua. And, you know, we've called that, or we've labeled that salvation, where we accept it. But I truly believe that when we look at the work and what happens on Yom Kippur, it has everything to do with basically our state of being. In other words, what happens to us after we saved, our mikveh experience. In other words, let's put it in another word, our baptism experience, our change of status, how we are changed to be able to become those kingdom of priests that we were called to be. Mm. So Yom Kippur, or the Yom Kippur ceremony, is actually showing us how those who were separated from Yahweh right in the very beginning with that corruptible flesh, like we've been separated from Yahweh and our flesh is corrupt. And the Bible tells us because our flesh is corrupt, no flesh can glory in the presence of Yahweh. Our flesh has to change. We have to be redeemed. And that gets changed. The Bible tells us it goes from faith to faith and from glory to glory. In other words, our flesh has to be changed, renewed. And one day we'll all have glorified bodies and we'll be able to stand fully in the presence of Yahweh. But this change has to take place. It has to change us from the inside out. And the entire ceremony and what is going on is talking and showing us how Yahweh teaches us the difference between what he considers holy and what he considers profane. And if we, the people of Yahweh, if we say that we love him and we serve him, but we are defiling his name, we're defiling his sanctuary, and we're defiling everything else that is related to Yahweh, then we are not his people. And then we are actually becoming people of another, you know, of another father. So that was Israel's problem throughout their history. And that's why today there are so many people who confess Yeshua with their mouths, but they are not living the life that he wants them to live. And that's why when it comes down to this day of Yom Kippur, that's why the scriptures say, he might look at you and say to you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because you can say that you drove out demons in his name, you can say that you did all these things in his name, but you weren't living according to his ways and according to his instructions. Yom Kippur is showing us that as a nation, we have been called to be a light to the world. And as a nation, we have to obey what he tells us to do. That's why the whole nation, they would come and they would place their hands upon the one goat, because it was important, because the confession of our sins. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we understand this and that we confess our sins, because as believers, we have been redeemed. Yes, Yeshua's blood has redeemed us. But as we walk this life, we offend people, we do things that are wrong, we have intentional and unintentional sins. We have all these things that we pick up throughout our lives. And what Yom Kippur is teaching us is that we have a great Redeemer that has taken the place. And that's what's important. Yeshua becomes our kinsman Redeemer. He becomes the one who takes away our sins. But those sins and that blood that was actually shed on the stake was him giving up his life for our lives. Our life, we all should have been hanging on that stake. So he becomes our kinsman Redeemer, and he redeems us, and he helps us to understand the process to have a redeemed life. In other words, to have his life and to live our lives according to his ways. So, and the only way, Aaliyah, that we truly 100% become the people that Yahweh wants us to be, right from the very beginning, his desire was to have a kingdom of priests, a nation of people that he could reveal his glory through. And that's why if we understand the whole tabernacle structure, it was designed as that same picture of what was up in heaven. And that's why Hebrews tells us that the blood of goats and bulls cannot redeem us, but the blood of Messiah Yeshua. So his blood is up in the heavenlies, and it's making atonement for us on a daily basis when we come before him and we ask for forgiveness. But we have to understand that once we've been forgiven, that's only one part of the entire story. So many people stop at forgiveness and they think, well, I've been forgiven, everything's okay, and they go out and they live their life like the world. And that's why if you live like that, then one day you'll stand at this festival, the Day of Atonement, and he'll say to you, you know what, I don't know you. Depart from me, like I said, you who practice lawlessness. You defiled my name. You defiled the sanctuary. You lived a lawless, unproductive life, and you didn't do what I required from you.
You know what's awesome about Yom Kippur is that it's really a day that Yahweh gave to us because of his great love for us. It's a day that, you know, he gave to us for that atonement time, because he really does want to actually fellowship with us. He really actually does want to be with us. You know what? I was thinking about marriage the other day, and I was thinking about Ephesians 5, and I was thinking about how many times we've heard teachings on Ephesians 5 that, you know, specifically where Paul talks about, and he says that marriage, you know, he says, I speak about a great mystery here, but marriage needs to reveal the relationship that, you know, the body has with Yeshua. This is really about us and Yeshua, and that's what marriage needs to look like. And while I was reflecting on this and just talking to Abba Father about Ephesians 5, you know, I really came to believe that, you know, a lot of times the teaching on Ephesians 5 has been, you know, husband is head, wife is below, and there's this whole thing that's happening, and that's the revelation of Yeshua. But it's not actually true. I think that the whole depth of marriage is that we ourselves are, you know, we have this fallible nature, and Yeshua is holy, and yet he desires to dwell with us. And I think in marriage, we often struggle, people struggle in marriages because they are so different. Mm-hmm. And to bridge the gap between the differences or the personality differences and the different ways people want to go, you see that so many times when we meet different couples, you know, when there's problems, it's that I want this and you want that, and we're so different, and that's how it is. And we are so different from Yeshua. He is so holy. He is this ultimate Elohim. He's this God, but yet he wants that marriage relationship with each one of us. And you know what's absolutely so beautiful? And I'm going to talk about it after we go to our first song. But what's so beautiful, and like I said, I am going to get into it, but in Leviticus 16, there's the whole picture of what the priest needs to do. But in there is also, you know what? It's not just about offerings. It's not just about blood, like you said, but there's a beautiful reality of what the priest needs to do with incense inside of the Holy of Holies. And we're going to touch on that when we get back, because this beautiful word for incense that's used here that the priest would offer before he goes into the Holy of Holies is a word that actually means bonded together. And it's so significant because this was only done at this feast. And we have this bonding together that Yahweh wants to bond with us. He wants to covenant with us. He wants to have that loving marriage relationship with us. So he's given us these ways that we can return to him, that we can come back to him because of his love. And he gave Yom Kippur as a love reality, because we defile the temple by our sin. We defile the things around us by, you know what, maybe not always being at the place where we need to be, because this life is hard, and Yahweh understands that, and because things happen, and Yahweh understands that, and because he understands that, and he understands, just like it says in the Psalms, that all of us, you know, all life is like grass, you know, we're here today, gone tomorrow, our lives are short, and we have this fallen flesh. Yahweh understands that. He doesn't make excuses for that. He's not saying, hey, it's okay. He's saying, okay, because I understand that, I'm giving you days like today, days like Yom Kippur. I'm giving you times like these when you can fully take hold of them and receive the fullness of what this means, so that you can covenant fully with me, so that we can be bonded together, heart, mind, spirit, soul, everything. That's why we got to love Yahweh with all of us. Every part of us has to be his. And so when we're bonded with him, we're back in that relationship with him and just fully, you know, connected with him, having, you know, no thoughts of living in the future, no thoughts of living in the past, but absolutely being present with him. And I think that that's so important. And again, I think that as a people, Yosef, as the true called out believers of Yeshua, we need to also reflect on the sins of ours collectively. Amen. What have we done as the body of Yeshua to maybe harm others, mm-hmm. or maybe harm ourselves, or maybe harm the people within our body or within our congregation, and seek that reconciliation and that love? And so, you know what? I want you to enjoy this song with us. It's called All That I'm After by Kelly. And you know what? It's such a great song. This song has really been my song for the last month. So I hope you enjoy it. When we get back, we're going to continue talking about Yom Kippur and get in a little bit to Leviticus 16. So enjoy.
My Savior in the darkest valley, my shepherd in the open pasture, my leader for the path before me, my Father when I don't know the answers. Surrendering is easy when it comes to you. I was made to love you. It's the least that I can do. Here's my life, no hesitations. So deserving of it all. I am throwing you in the center. You're all that I'm after. You're all that I'm at.
Welcome back to the Coffee Break. Such a great song. I absolutely love that song. So you know what? Leviticus 16 is such an important part. And I really, really encourage you to go and read it on your own if you have not done so already. Maybe you have. Maybe you're a little bit ahead already. But Leviticus 16 is so great because it obviously talks about, you know what, the depth of the sacrifice and what the high priest had to do and everything. And it so foreshadows Yeshua. But we're going to talk about, and I really want us to reflect on something that Abba Father really spoke to my heart about to share on the Coffee Break tonight, and is found in verses 11 through to 13. And you know what? It is all about, okay, we start this whole reality of Aaron bringing the bull for his own sin offering, which was incredibly significant, to make atonement for himself. But then in verse 12, it goes on to say, he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before Yahweh, and he is to take two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony so that the high priest will not die. Now we know, it says it there, that the high priest is to do this, and partly because, you know what, the incense would go up and then it would cover the ark, as we know it, the ark of the testimony, specifically the mercy seat, and it would cover that whole area because it reveals, of course, the throne of Yahweh. And at that stage, it was this whole reality of no one can see Yahweh and live. That was why people got so fearful when they used to see the angel of Yahweh, and who we know was Yeshua, but they used to think, oh my goodness, I'm going to die now because I've seen it. But this was just to, you know, have that protection. But there's something deeper that's happening when it comes to the incense. And this is something that we need to reflect on, Yosef, because, you know, the whole purpose of Yom Kippur, and you alluded to it earlier on as well, is that we have to really also look at ourselves, look at our hearts, look at the things that are within, and look at, you know, not only collectively what we are doing, but also individually what we are doing. Where's our hearts at today? And I think that that's a question we can ask all of ourselves. And I'm going to ask you, you know, where's your heart at today? What's in your heart? You know, what's troubling you? It's not sometimes just about our sin. It's also really about our burdens and our tears and the things that we hold on to. Now, we know that the incense was actually offered twice a day, every day of the week, every day of the year. And we know that this incense was created every single week, and it was placed on the altar of incense in the holy place. And yes, it was just a part of the temple service. But on this specific day, it was taken once a year into the Holy of Holies. And now it's not just because the priest is not going to die. There is messages and symbolisms in everything. And Yahweh actually set out how the incense needs to be created. And he only mentions four specific things that need to be in the incense. There was actually 11 things that they used to make the incense with, but the other things were added in, and that just became like oral tradition. But there were four specific things that Yahweh actually mentions in the word. And I'm going to go into those things because it's so important when it comes to Yom Kippur and when it comes to what Yahweh actually was saying through this, you know, service that had to happen. And so one of the things that was inside, there were four of these fragrant spices, and it was stacked onycha galbanum, which apparently didn't smell very good, and frankincense, and they had to be equal amounts for this incense. And now there were other things that were added on, but they're not mentioned in the scripture. So these are the only four things that's mentioned in the scripture. And stacked is actually this liquid myrrh. And it's, you know, we know in the biblical times that myrrh was very, very precious. And so stacked was this, you know, liquid myrrh. And it's so interesting because we know exactly what the symbol of it is because of how it was produced. And how they got this liquid myrrh back in the day was that they would slice the bark of a myrrh tree until tears used to form from the bark, and so it would fall down and they would collect that. And the word for myrrh in Hebrew is actually the word mor, which comes from the Hebrew word mara, which means to be bitter inside, to be bitter in your heart, to be bitter within. And that's really, really specific because when we lay down our lives and we know that sometimes, I mean, people go through things in life and they can pick up hurts and they can pick up issues and they can become this bitterness in your life, or the things that really pain you, the tears that you cry, the things that are deep within. It's part of the offering. It becomes part of the incense that is made so that it can be offered before Yahweh. And that's part of what we can reflect on Yom Kippur. what is in our hearts when it comes to the tears that we've cried this year. I think if people reflect on this year, and if we as a global people reflect on this year, we'll probably come to find that there's been a lot more tears that have overflowed in 2020 than there have been in many years before. You know, whether it be the loss of dreams, goals, vision, loved ones, job losses, whether it be whatever it may be, I think that we as the body of Messiah, we are not immune to things, although we have that hope. Like Yeshua says, in this world, we will have struggles, we will have trials, we will have these realities that happen to us, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. Part of what we can offer up of ourselves and what we can look at during this Yom Kippur time is, what am I sad about? What is burdening my heart? Is there bitterness in my heart? You know, is there something that's leaving me bitter tonight? Is there something that, or somebody who's left a bitter taste in my mouth, kind of like myrrh? And we can look at it and we can go, okay, Yahweh, how can we burn this in our lives? How can we go? And onycha is really the next spice that is used in the incense. We don't know if it comes from a plant, if it comes from a shellfish. We do not know. But you know what? Onycha is actually so special. It's only mentioned once in the entire Bible. And it's only mentioned here when it comes to the incense. And the Hebrew word for onycha is a word that actually literally means the following: to roar like a lion, to roar like a fierce lion. Now, why would this spice? You know, the Hebrews were so specific. They're not going to connect a spice with a lion if there's no connection between the two. So you know what the reality is that We read in Revelation 5, it says, I wept and I wept because no one was found worthy enough to open the scroll or to look inside. You know, do you know the scripture, Yosef? Then it says, then one of the elders said to me, do not weep, for see, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. You know, Yeshua is depicted often throughout the Bible as this lion who roars in judgment against the nations, but then he roars for his faithful people. You know, when there's the book of Amos says that when the lion roars, who will keep sleeping? Who's not going to be awakened by that sound? And you know what? Yahweh is just incredible because Yeshua is going to be the one that judges. And this is part of the prophetic message of Yom Kippur as well. And he's going to be the one that is going to roar over us. You know what? That victory sound that we will hear, but also then he will roar in judgment over his enemies. And I said galbanum was offered, but it wasn't a very good smelling spice. And it actually is derived from the Hebrew word, which means to offer up the best part of your heart, to offer up everything that is inside of you. And galbanum was actually used for healing. And I want to pause here and just say, you know what? Yom Kippur, as we talk about it, is a day that is about atonement. And I truly do believe it's also a day that is about deliverance. Mm-hmm. When we reflect on what we can offer before Yahweh, Yahweh is not an unfeeling God. Yeshua is not a savior who does not understand our weaknesses. In contrary, the Bible tells us that he understands our weaknesses, he understands our pains, he understands our sufferings. I truly believe that this incense that was offered on the altar was a revelation and a symbol of every part of our heart, every part of our soul, every part of our lives that we live. Because when we bring our hearts to him, he sees what's inside. And you know what? On Yom Kippur, we can also bring the hurts to him, the pains to him that he understands. The pains not only of our past, but of our present. And we can come and we can also offer the best to him. We can offer our whole heart to him, because that's what it's really, really about. And he will give us that healing. He is the fixer. He's the one that's going to make it okay. And you know what? The last thing that's offered, we know, is very popular, is the frankincense, well known by people that read the Bible. And it was that spice that was brought to the infant Yeshua by the Magi. We know that. And it actually, in Hebrew, frankincense is the Hebrew word for white. It's perfect. It's holy. It's pure. And they got the spice also by cutting into the bark of the tree. And then these cats would cause it white milk to drop from the bark. I don't know if you've seen that, Yosef. Sometimes you cut into a tree, I remember as a kid, and you see those white, that's not exactly frankincense, but that's what would happen with the frankincense. And it was this pleasing fragrance to Yahweh. He wants this frankincense over and over and over again. And I truly believe it is because it is this symbol of holiness. It is a symbol of what we get at the end of when we've worked through our bitterness, when we've worked through our pain, when we've allowed Yeshua to be the healer, when we come and we offer up our hearts, when we say, Yahweh, take the best of me, and you know what, change the rest of me. When Yahweh is able just to access every single part of us, it's not just this incense that's going up so that the priest couldn't see him fully. It was so that the priest could really understand that it was about everything. It's not just about the service that we do or the lip service that we give or how great we look on the outside or how great the high priest fulfilled this service and how great the priest fulfilled it. It's about really what's going on inside. That's why it says we are to love Yahweh with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Everything, like I said before the song, bonded to him, attached to him, receiving from him, and everything open before him. It's okay to sometimes feel hurt, but do we bring that to the Father? And on this Yom Kippur, he's saying to us that I want you to bring just everything that you are to me. You know, don't keep these things back, because you know what, once you just allow yourself to be transparent before me, there's going to come that healing. And he's also going to make us white, you know, like the frankincense resembles that holiness, that purity of dealing with all of those things and becoming that sweet smelling fragrance to Yahweh. It's not only our prayers that are sweet to him, but it's a life that is offered, that is surrendered, that is sacrificed to him. That is the kind of thing that Yahweh loves. And when people do that, we see how Yahweh responds in his word. And that's part of atonement as well. Part of redemption and atonement is having that bonded relationship with him. Like you've always said, at one moment, it's that at one state that we come into where we are transparent and we just share with him and he transforms us to be better people.
Amen. That's just amazing. You know, Leah, I want to just go back to what we were saying. And, you know, we were talking about that at one-ment. And the reason why he wants us to be at one with him goes all the way back again to wanting to have a kingdom of priests, to wanting to have a people through whom he can reveal his glory and his presence. I was looking at some of the things that I did before for Yom Kippur. And, you know, I looked at, and a very important thing that we need to understand is that right from the very, very beginning, Yahweh called Aaron and his family aside so that they can be consecrated to Yahweh for one very specific purpose, so that they could be holy unto Yahweh and that the people could see that this was the way in which they were to worship Yahweh. And it all comes down again to the difference between the holy and the profane. And you know, what's also important too is that he was to make a plate, if you remember, a plate of pure gold, and it was to be engraved on that plate that there was a seal on it that said holy unto Yahweh. He was to be holy unto Yahweh. He was marked with Yahweh's mark, and it was for the purpose of restoring that fallen image of Yahweh back in him, and so that Aaron might meet and speak with Yahweh face to face. That was what Yahweh desired for all of Israel, but unfortunately they fell short and they didn't do what Yahweh required of them. And this festival of Yom Kippur is about that. It's about that restoration that Yahweh wants. It's about that cleansing of the whole community and letting them come to a point where they can decide, are they now going to enter in and become that kingdom of priests, or are they going to again go back and defile his name, defile his sanctuary, and mess things up? It is kind of like a clean slate where Yahweh is saying, now's the time for you to go, and now's the time for you to do. And like you said, it's got everything to do with our worship. In other words, how we are going to worship Yahweh. Are we going to worship him in the manner that he desires, or are we going to worship him in the way that we think? It's got everything to do with that. Everything that Yahweh is doing is so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, so that we can actually become a kingdom and a nation of priests and a light to the world. That's what it's all about. And you know, what's important is this, and I want to read this to you in Exodus chapter 19. It says, verse 5, "Now therefore, If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders and the people and laid before their faces all these words. That is what Yahweh desires right now from his people. He's desiring, and that's why, you know, when we look at everything that Yahweh's been presenting and saying to his body at this moment, is that we become people that are so fired up, so separated from the world, so kind of, I wouldn't say separated in that sense, we live in this world, but we have to be set apart from that world. And that's what it's about. And we need to understand, and I want to say this again this evening, we cannot at all defile Yahweh's sanctuary. And that means our hearts. What is going on inside of our lives? What is going on inside of your heart? What is going on, like you said, what is going on inside of your mind, the battlefield? What's going on inside of you? And that's why this festival tonight and this festival that we're entering into is a time for you to stop, a time for you to afflict your soul, like they say, however you feel that needs to be done. We need to stop. I believe that what Yahweh is trying to say to us is, set aside this time and this day to sit with me and ask me to show you your heart, to show you what has been going on, to show you those things, whether it be hurts, whether it be pains, whether it be bitterness, whether it be resentment, whatever it is in your heart that has caused you as a person who believes in me to become stagnant, not to progress, not to move forward, not to live in the realm. And you know, I always use this example in here. I believe that, you know, we've spoken about the tabernacle, the way, the truth, and the life. The place that Yahweh wants us to dwell is in that place where the life of Yahweh is, the place of the abundant life. You know, we've spoken so many times about that abundant life. It's not having a life, your best life now, or all the money in the bank that you need. It's about having the abundant life where you're no longer living in your soulful state, but you're living a spiritual life on fire for Yahweh. It's learning to live not half full, but having an overflow of Yahweh's Spirit and his goodness in your life to be able to give that to others. That's what he wants from us, so that we can truly become that light. So we need to get to a point where we allow Yahweh to look inside of us, reveal those things in our lives that are causing us not to live in the penthouse, not to live in that place of ultimate fulfillment where we are really living out our purpose in him. And it is possible. You know, so many people say, yes, it's not that easy, it's not that you know, I can't do it. But the truth of the matter is that if you look in the word and you look at great men and women of old, they lived in that place of the fullness of Yahweh. Yes, there were times where they fell, yes, there were times where they struggled, but they lived in the realm of Yahweh's fullness, and it was so that others might receive the goodness of Yahweh through their lives. Look at the life of Samuel, the life of Elijah, the life of great men and women in the Word that did great and wonderful things. They weren't living in a state of brokenness continually. They were broken so that they could live a life of openness and become the vessel that Yahweh wanted them to be. Brokenness needs to lead us, as I've said, to openness, a place where we live in the fullness of Yahweh and where he can be that light that flows through us. That's important.
I love that. Joseph, thank you so much for sharing that. You know what? Yom Kippur is truly a special, special time. And I believe that's a time where Abba Father wants to just work within our hearts and work within our lives. And so we also want to, as we started off the coffee break saying, be able to pray for you if you need a prayer tonight. You know what? It's not about, like Joseph said earlier on, and no one's going to point a finger at you. We are all here and we are all sitting, you know, at a place where I think that we all know that we want prayer for certain things, and it's important. So if you have a prayer request tonight, or you just want to say, me, pray for me, you don't have to even say what it is, just say, me, pray for me, put that down. We're going to go to a song. You've got, you know what, maybe about 3 or 4 minutes. Put it down. We would love to pray with you when we get back. And you know what, maybe just have a time of prayer where we are led by Abba Father's Spirit, so that we can truly just hear what he wants to say to us. So enjoy the song. When we get back, we'll pray together. This is Indescribable.
Highest tonight to the depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring.
Every time I hear that song, there's that final words that he sings here that says, "You see the depth of my heart and you love me the same." And I think of that often, and I think to the Father, wow, how incredible you actually really are and how amazing you actually really are. That, you know what, you see just everything about us and you love us the same, and it's so amazing. And so, but Father, we just really want to come before your holy throne of grace this evening to receive that grace and mercy, which you have always said is so abundantly available to us, Abba Father. And we just really come before you. And we just really know as we stand here today collectively as a body, Abba Father, that you are holy and you are merciful, and that you're bound in loving kindness towards us, that you forgive sins, Father, that you are slow to get angry. But Father, you are full of abundant love, full of kindness towards us. And this evening, Father, we we want to pray that firstly you will show us the depth of our hearts over the next day, over the next day and a half, Father. Show us the depth of what's happening inside of our hearts, Father. Show us, reveal by your Ruach, by your Spirit, Abba Father, what we need to see, what we need to know, what we need to understand. And Father, sometimes we will be surprised at the goodness that we see. And sometimes we will be surprised at the things that we see. Give us every single piece of strength that we need to see within. And Father, forgive us of our sins. We come to you and we know that we are not without fault, Father, that we are not without sin. And show us where we can come clean. But help us also know that, Father, we come clean because you love us and because we love you. Help us bond, Father, together with you in a deeper way over the next coming weeks and months, Father. May we go deeper into you in a depth that, Father, we have never experienced before. Help us wipe this slate clean and know, Abba Father, that we are walking with you in a depth. And this evening, we just really, really want to lift Jody up to you for the salvation and the peace for her husband and for her family. And Abba Father, I just really want to pray for Jody tonight, Father, and specifically for her husband. I pray that the scales over his eyes will be removed in the mighty name of Yeshua, that Father, you will give her all strength to continue to be the person that you've created her to be in that family. And that Father, you will call that man to you, Father, that you will call him by name and say that he is yours, Father. I believe tonight that you have called him, Father, and that you do say, Father, that this is my child, but Father, he needs to come to you and know, Father, that the world can no longer pull him from you, Father. I pray that he will make that decision within his heart. I pray for a true, pure, honest and open, broken salvation for him, Father, from the depth of his heart. I pray that you'll give this family peace, Father, that you will raise them up to be giants in this generation. I also pray for Jody, Father, that your blessing would fall upon her life, that, Father, you will reveal anything that's within her heart that's keeping her from living fully, just step by step, in a stable, abundant relationship with you, not falling back into things, Father. And I just really pray and thank you for the grace and mercy that you have. And Abba Father, I thank you that you will reveal these truths to her in your will and in your time. And I thank you for that. Show her, Father, even over the next day, show her, Father, what she is crying out to you to see, Father. And I really want to pray a blessing, Father, over them in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I want to pray for every single person and family that is here today, Father, that you would bless them, that you would keep them, that you would make your mighty face to shine upon them. Father, thank you for this fellowship time. Thank you that, Father, you still join us together by the power of your Spirit. Thank you that we're, you know what, two or three are gathered in your name. There you are. So we know that you are with us. Thank you that, Father, we ignite a fire tonight, Father, by fellowshipping together and hearing your word, the truth of your word. Thank you that you remember us, Father. Thank you for your goodness, Abba, Father. Thank you, Yeshua, that you are a mighty, mighty Elohim. And thank you, Yeshua, that you are the high priest. Thank you that we do not need to sit afflicting ourselves and beating ourselves, you know, like so many different religions do, Father, to just try and get forgiveness somehow. But Yeshua, thank you that you paid that price and that you are a high priest and that you offer us forgiveness every single second of every single day. We are so grateful for you, Yeshua. And we just praise you. We honor you. We love you tonight. Lead us and guide us in a pure, holy, true walk with you, Yeshua. And we just give you all the glory. And we pray this in your mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just want to thank you so much this evening, Yahweh, that we could come together like this. And Father, I want to pray, as Aaliyah said, Father, that every single person that has joined us, Father, that you will raise them up in this generation. Father, I pray that no matter what they face, Father, no matter what they go through, that they will always know, Father, that you are for them and not against them. I pray, Father, that you will make every single road, Father, level ahead of them. And Yahweh, that they will not lean upon the arm of flesh, but that they will lean upon you. And Yahweh, that through your grace and that through your mercy, Father, that you will pour out understanding, that you will pour out vision, Father, for every single person as the days unfold, Father, and as they continue to serve you. Father, I pray that you will raise up men and women in this generation, Father, that will proclaim you like we have never seen before. Coming out even from this group, Father, and from their families, Father, and from their groups of people, Father, that they share with and that they minister to. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray, Father, that on this festival that you will receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Father, we look forward, Father, to the next festival, and we look forward to what you are still going to do, Father, upon this earth in the days lying ahead. And we thank you for this. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Coffee Break this evening. It's been so wonderful to be with you. Next week, please join us. We're going to have a Sukkot celebration. Yay! On the Coffee Break next Sunday, because we know Sukkot starts next Shabbat, actually, and it's going to be really great. Blessings on you for building your sukkah, if that's what you're doing. Blessings on you if you're sleeping outside in your sukkah. Special blessings for you if you're actually going camping. That's next level. And you know what? We just want to celebrate with you next week. So have a wonderful week. Shavuah, Shavuah Tov from us to you. Please don't forget to continue to pray for us as we continue to, you know, do the things He always calls us to. It's not always easy, but we are so grateful for all the prayers. And so may Yahweh bless you and keep you, make His beautiful face to shine upon you. Until next week, Shavuah Tov.
Shalom.
Never runs dry.
waiting.